podcast from Life in Christ Fellowship in beautiful Newport, Vermont. Today's message is brought to you by Pastor Janet Bishop. We hope that this message is encouraging to you and increases your faith in Christ. Enjoy.
The title of the message today is Let Go and Let God. We have not conversed about this. And I don't have this in my notes, but I was thinking about that picture that was so clear of hanging on, you know, praising God, but hanging on to something that God wants you to let go of. And we won't let go if we don't trust him to take it. It's all about trust. Do you remember that bumper sticker? I don't know how many years ago, years and years ago, we'd see it on cars sometimes, let go, let God. And we began to hear it in other circles of ministry and fellowship. And I think some of those, Alcoholics Anonymous and so on and so forth, started to get hold of that phrase. And because of that, I never gave it much thought. And then I felt a couple of weeks ago that the Lord reminded me of that phrase, let go and let God. As I'm going through some of this today, I want you to begin to think about what it is you're holding on to. What it is that you're not trusting God with. If we're going to go to the next level in our personal walk or in our corporate walk, we have to know what it is we're not trusting God with. We don't have anything we need to worry about. We worry, but we don't have to. So, I'm going to read some scripture to you. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to start with Psalm 24, 3 and 4, and then go to 5 and 6. Who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Such people may seek you and worship in your presence, O God of Jacob. So, that sounds like a very solemn portion of Scripture. Let's not get solemn equated with the absence of joy. Solemn, to me, simply means that we're going with something before the Lord reverently. That we're wanting to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. And we're serious about it. But that is not the absence of joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. So it's important to learn how to take God and his word seriously, contemplate it, allow ourselves to be totally open to him, and remain in the joy of the Lord. Because we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we don't have to fear condemnation. We don't have to walk in shame. We recognize that God did for us what we could never have done for ourselves. That's why he came. If we could have done it for ourselves, he would not have had to come. Correct? But he did come. And as Jen was saying last week, he did what he did on earth as a man. He didn't cheat. But his relationship with the Heavenly Father, since they are one, was complete. Do you know that it is possible for us to live on the earth as Jesus lived? come on. It is possible because everything he did fully human. And we like to go around saying, well, I'm only human, as though that were an excuse to continue in sin. Come on. I believe that we're living in a time with the Lord right now where he is beginning to point out our sins. Not because he wants to shame us or condemn us, but because he wants to set us free from it. There should be a hallelujah in the midst. Thank you. Yeah. Come on. We have to start taking this issue seriously. We have to stop excusing our behavior. We're living in a world that loves to excuse sin. Well, you know, they came from a very difficult situation. Hello. Being on this earth is a difficult situation, and yes, I fully recognize as a counselor for years, working in a correctional center for years, I know that people have suffered really tough stuff. But as long as we come along and pat them on the back and say, it's okay, honey, we're not giving them the incentive to repent and come before the Lord. And we're keeping them stuck with the effects of that sin in their lives. For years, I've said that one of the greatest disservices we have ever done in society, to society, is to call alcoholism a disease. To call drug addiction a disease, because now people have an excuse. I can't help myself. Is it tough? Believe me. I understand. Believe me, I am not without compassion. But my compassion and my faith come together to say you do not have to be stuck with it. You can be delivered from it. You can be set free. Turn your eyes on Jesus. How many testimonies do any of us know of people who have been able to overcome whatever addiction? Come on. Alcoholism, drug addiction. Here's a big one. Pornography. Ouch. He died for all. He truly did. And we have to fight sometimes for the freedom that Jesus purchased for us already. Again, please understand, I am not saying what I'm saying in the absence of compassion. I am saying it out of the depths of compassion. I am so sick and tired of people saying, my sin's okay, their sin's okay, I can't help it, they can't help it. Come on. What did Jesus die for? What did he, yes, Tammy. Exactly. And he died to set us free from those sins. And there's power in the blood to heal and save and deliver. This is good news. This is good news. What Jesus did, he did as a human. He did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do we have the Holy Spirit? Yes. We have access to the Holy Spirit. Can we share that with other people who are stuck in their sins? Yes. First of all, we have to get over our own. We all have our pet thing. What is it that we're holding on to that God is asking us to let go of and let him have it? Let him take it. And it may be a fight. There are things in my life that I've had to give up. you know what the good news is? Once you give them up, you feel so much better and so much freer. And you go, wow, what I was holding on to is such a cheap substitute for the real thing. The real thing is Jesus Christ, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I didn't think I was going to present this way. What is the Lord doing to me lately? Everything. Yes. All right. If you'd like to, you can go to Psalm 51. And I am in the New Living Translation. And I'm going to read 1 through 13. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Let's start there. God's love is unfailing. There isn't any place we've been, anything we've done, anything anybody else has done that will keep them from being able to access the unfailing love of Jesus. You know, when I'm dealing with an addict, I don't shout at them. I don't point my finger at them. I don't give them a hard time. But neither do I let them wallow in their reasons for their addiction. Because my faith and my compassion wants to see them set free. This makes sense to y'all? Now, are we still good? Okay, just checking. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you only have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now, let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. I think we need to pray that a whole lot more. Make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. What is the job of the church in this day, in this hour? It's to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's a gospel of hope, not condemnation. That's a gospel that says, yes, you're in your sins. Let's be honest about it. Don't hide your sin. Don't hide your sin from the Lord. You can't. Don't hide your sin from those who can help you with it. And I want to say this church is one of the best I personally know of. I'm talking about you all. To love those who come through the doors who are broken, who are caught in their sins and in their trespasses, and you come alongside them, and in their mourning and in their sorrows, and you come alongside them, and you ask God, what do they need? And you come around each other. Keep doing that. Do it more. That's the heart of God. It's a heart of restoration. God wants to save, to heal, to deliver, to restore, to reconcile. He wants to give peace and joy and love to those who don't have it. Greek, Greek. I love the blot out the stains of my sin. We need to be established in the compassion of the Lord. When I was thinking about this, I was thinking about, we have in our home, we have some Berber carpet. It was there when we bought the house. Light colored and not my favorite. And something got spilled on it. And we cleaned and we cleaned and we cleaned and we couldn't get the stain out. And we hired a professional cleaner, and he couldn't get the stain out. And so the stain is there. And now it's blended in with all kinds of other dirt and stains. You don't see it as much as you used to. However, the point being that the stain is a reminder of the failure. So the thing with Jesus is that he not only takes the sin away, he takes the stain of the sin away. When you repent, when we repent, he's quick to forgive us and cleanse us from all the stain, all the unrighteousness, and we are pure before him. One of the problems that I had, there was enough legalism in me, enough of the religious spirit in me, that I kept taking the same sin that I'd already repented of and wasn't committing anymore before the Lord. God, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. And one day he said to me, what are you talking about? And I said, that thing that I did and it caused this and that. And he said, you repented. And I said, yes. And he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I thought of it as my own children. If they came before me and rehearsed to me something that they had told me they were sorry for, and I had forgiven them, but they kept coming back and coming back and coming back and saying, I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. All that does is break relationship. All that does is hinder relationship. When you truly repent and you truly let go of something, it's gone. It's gone. Don't rehearse it. And for me, I know the devil was involved in reminding me, you did that. You did that. You're a bad person. You're not really who people think you are because you did that. Anybody else? Am I the only one? There came a time where it's like, you know what, devil? Shut up. I'm forgiven. I am washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. And he sees me through his eyes of love. I don't have to carry this anymore. And I'm not listening to your voice or mine, bringing it up again and again and again. We need to stop doing that. It's under the blood. So he takes away not only the sin, but the stain. Wash me from my guilt. We are washed by the blood of Jesus. Purify me from my sin. He has purified us from our sin by his blood. He paid the price. you're set free. There was a story years ago that I heard. It was a courtroom scene, and the judge was sitting where the judge sits, and there was the criminal, and there was the advocate. And the criminal was found guilty. And the judge was about ready to sentence him, and the lawyer stood up, and he said, "Judge, I will take the punishment for his sin." And then he took off his lawyer robes, and there was Jesus in his righteous robes. And it's past tense, he's already done it. He did it all. There is no sin that you weren't, this is going to sound crazy, but listen to me, there's no sin you aren't already forgiven for in Christ. However, we still need to repent before him so that he can wash away the guilt, the shame, the stain, and the negative effects, all of the negative effects that that sin has on you and other people. And I do believe when we get to heaven, it will be better for us if we repent now than when we get there. Okay? We good still? It's a hard one sometimes to wrap our minds around that we're forgiven in Christ, and yet we still need to repent of sin here. But we do. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, a loyal spirit, an unwavering spirit, an unstraying spirit. God doesn't want us to stray away from him, because when we stray away from him, we don't have the benefit of his presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. When Alan was reading during communion about the importance of us to properly discern the body and blood of Jesus, I was hearing that in a way I hadn't heard it before. If we're truly discerning the body of Jesus, we know that his body was broken for us, that he took our sin upon his body, and then he paid for that sin by his blood. All we have to do is receive it and believe it. Excuse me. In Psalm 139:23-24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life." Matthew 12:34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Or, "Whatever is in your heart determines what you say." And verse 35 in Matthew 12 says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of his good heart. And a bad person produces bad things from the treasury of his heart." So if you belong to the Lord, is your heart good or bad? Should be good. So one of the things that can happen if we listen to ourselves talk, have you ever had that experience where you said something and then you're going, why did I say that? right? And the devil wants to come along and say, man, you just blew it. You just said that thing you should not have said, whatever it was. But we can look at it through the eyes of the enemy or through the eyes of the flesh, or we can look at it through the eyes of our Heavenly Father who loves us. And when we catch it, it can be a good thing. Because we can say, thank you, Father. I didn't even know that was in my heart. And now I see it. And I know if I see it, you can help me with it. If I can't see it, then God doesn't have access to me with that thing. Thank you. It's probably that shouting that I did in the beginning. Lesson learned. I can shout again. Yeah. So it's good when we realize that we're falling short somewhere or there's something that we need to repent of. It's an opportunity to get closer to God. It's an opportunity to get cleaner. I don't know about you, but I want more of God. And therefore, anything that's in the way, I want to get rid of. Matthew, I don't think the devil likes this message. But if I have to cough through the whole thing, the enemy loses. God wins. So Matthew 23, 25, 26 tells us the importance of cleaning the inside of the cup and not just the outside. So in the Christian church, we might work very hard to look good. In the Christian church, we may work very hard to sound good. Jesus wants us to be good. He wants us clean on the inside. And I want to encourage you again, it is not a word of condemnation. It is a word of help and hope. It is a word of freedom. It is a word of joy. So clean the inside, not just the outside. One of my favorite scriptures, I say it a lot, is Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. 1 Corinthians 5:17, we're getting to even better news, tells us that we are new creations in Christ. A new creation, just let me ask you this question or give you this thought. I don't think a new creation should behave like the old creation. Since we're new in Christ, that means, sorry.
Not going away.
As a new creation, we have the hope of the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And this is one of the reasons. Somebody else want to finish this message? It's one of the reasons that we've been encouraging this body to get closer to the Holy Spirit. because it's the Holy Spirit who teaches us, leads us, guides us, helps us, comforts us, strengthens us. He is our advocate. He truly is our lawyer. And what that means, we said it before, is when the devil tries to raise an accusation, the Holy Spirit comes in and says, keep your hands off my kid. You stop condemning my child. My child is mine. You can't have him. I've already paid the price. He owes you nothing. His debts are forgiven. His sins are forgiven. You have nothing you can hold over him. Therefore, we shouldn't hold it over ourselves or anybody else. So how do we walk in the new creation? One of the big things is we have to let the old thing go. Or whatever it is that we're holding on to, we have to let it go. One of the big things I'm sure of is that we have to let go of the past. That's, again, for me and that religious spirit that wanted to continue to condemn me from my past, I had to let go of that. And it was hard to do without the Holy Spirit coming in and training me and teaching me and reminding me of his love, of what Christ has done for me, of the fact that even though I might remember it, he doesn't. And so I don't have to. Let go of your past. In order to let go of the past, not only do we have to forgive ourselves, we probably have to forgive somebody else as well. Probably more than one somebody else. So before I go into any more of my list, I want to hear from you what you think you might be holding on to, and God is saying, let go of it. So I like the congregation participation thing we've had going for a couple of weeks. What is it? And if you don't want to speak for yourself, you can. But if you are just thinking in generalities, you can do that too. What are some of the things we need to let go of and let God have it?
Being quick to judgment.
Would you say that again? Into the mic.
For me, it is being quick to judgment. I try to follow the word, and in doing that, I sometimes catch myself placing that on others incorrectly. So I give to God and repent for my quick to judgment.
Ooh, that's great.
Unforgiveness for people that have hurt us or our family. No.
Relationships. Especially hurtful ones, but it can also be good ones. Sometimes we hold on to a relationship that God is asking us to let go of. It doesn't mean we stop loving the person or caring for the person, but sometimes we have to let go of a relationship in order to move forward. And certainly we have to let go of relationships that have been hurtful to us, and that involves forgiveness, as you were saying. Anything else?
Fear and more faith. Fear and more faith.
Fear and more faith. What do you mean, more faith?
I need more faith.
You need more faith. It's going to let go of fear and get more faith.
I struggle with fear of man and fear of other people's expectations. When people have unrealistic expectations of me, I just take it right on and have those same unrealistic expectations of myself, and then I turn around and say, well, they're not doing it that right. Or, you know, I tend to judge others and turn it around them. And it's so hard not to take on other people's expectations. I take it, put it down and take it up, put it down and take it.
That's a big one.
My perception of how other people have seen me from even when I was a kid, in exchange for how God sees me and walking and living that.
That's good.
Letting go of the expectations of being responsible for your children's lives, even when they're older and adults, and learning to let go and let God intervene in their lives and not take on more than what God wants you to.
I think I often have trouble when I think back in my life and I've made decisions that hurt people, including my family, including others as well, particularly my children. And I want to equate that with their struggles in their adult life. And that is not, that isn't how it goes. And it's been a big, big one for me. I'm getting there. But like, I just need to give that to God. He's already forgiven me. I've repented and asked him to. Like, I love this message because I don't think you can be reminded of that enough, you know.
Self-protection.
Ooh, self-protection. That's something we have to let go of. Wisdom, yes, but often we protect ourselves when we don't have to or when God would do a much better job. I like this exercise.
The work and the worry of not having an income. Work and the worry of not having an income.
Ooh, yes, having
better. Yeah, work and the fear of not having enough income. Come right up here, Nance. Otherwise, I'll have to run back over there.
Brief, because it was really brief.
I find it funny how God talks to me. He talks to me in little brief phrases. And I talk to everybody else in miles and miles of phrases. So I think that's part of how I know it's him, because he's using little phrases. He kept saying to me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I thought, yeah. I know I was reading something lately. This is really important, though, because it goes along with this finance thing and not being able to trust. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. Lack is the word. If you look it up, that's one of the words. One of the other words, because I shall not want is like, oh, I don't want. You know, we don't get that. But lack really hits me. Because so if we are his sheep, and if he is our shepherd, then we don't lack. I don't know. It was profound to me. I know it's such a simple little phrase, but it's like, I think all of us get messed up with that. We know fear comes in, like you said, but just take that's a promise. He said it. And so if we could just, you know, receive that, and I have trouble with it too sometimes, but it's better than it was. So yeah, that's what he said to me in the car.
I sometimes do that with scriptures or prayers or lyrics to songs. It's not that I change the meaning. It's that I use other words that help me personalize the meaning. Perfect.
Tagging on to that too, a shepherd, when the food runs out, he takes you to a new pasture. So he doesn't keep you where there's nothing for you. He takes you to the next pasture where there is provision. And then the other thing that I was getting was about offense. And it's not just with each other. Our offense is with God for not providing in the way that we thought he should and our own expectations of him. So, yeah, good.
Very good.
Agreeing with the devil about the world instead of God. Like, I have heard myself say, the world's going to hell in a handbasket many times. And, you know, I don't believe that's God's heart or his plan, so.
Amen.
You know, it's, that's a constant struggle, you know. And when we don't want to do something, we kind of make it so that, no, he's really not telling me to do that, right? So I think those kinds of things too that I know I'm guilty of, you know, just his will, not ours, right?
Amen. Anybody else? So whatever it is that you need to let go of and let God come in. Finances is one of the more difficult areas for people because, especially in the Western civilization, we're used to providing for ourselves, right? And Pastor Ellen and I have seen it happen on both sides where people have decided they're just going to stop working because God will provide for them. And then they wonder why they can't do much of anything. We've seen that side, and we've seen the other side where they just can't trust God to take care of them, so they work and work and work and work. What is it God is asking of you? So whether it's work or not work, the big point is that God is our shepherd and we will lack nothing. I've seen it to over and over again that people have been able to engage their faith and trust Jesus with their finances, even though their bank account was pretty close to zero. And when they truly gave that over to him and truly believed, God is my shepherd, I don't lack anything, the provision was often nothing short of miraculous. And then it becomes a strong testimony. And we don't test God, right? My son and my daughter-in-law, you went there too, felt the call of the Lord to go to ministry school in Texas. And my son has been a worker like his dad, especially with a family. He provided very well for his family. And his thought was, we'll get to Texas, and I'll go to school. He was the first one going to school. I'll go to school, and I'll get a job to help us get through this time. That man looked and looked and looked for a job. Never before did he have to work so hard at getting work. And he just, nothing would come. And the Lord was continuing to say, trust me, trust me. And after a few weeks, a man and his wife came up to him and said, when the new students come in, every year we pray and we ask God if there's someone he wants us to support through ministry school. So we're going to support you through ministry school. That didn't mean they paid the whole thing. But their love, their prayers, and their financial support helped many times. There were times that Annie would be saying, I have nothing in my cupboards, nothing to feed my kids, Lord. And somebody would come by with groceries. Yeah, just come. You know, Bishop Callahan tells similar stories when he was called. So we've seen those stories as well. I know it's difficult, but God does it.
I just want to share briefly what the the Lord has been reminding me of in regards to finances, something he had taught me like a couple years ago that clearly I had forgotten again. And it was basically, if I'm getting down to almost nothing financially and I start like penny pinching and like, oh, I can't spend this, I can't do that, I need to withhold here, like all of these things, that my actions are saying I don't believe there will be more. And so am I believing there will be more? Like, do I realize that he is my provider? He's a good father. There is abundance in him. Like, he has all the provision in the world. And when I focus on that, oh, this is all I have, and I'm like managing all I have here, then it does sometimes feel like I come up short and actually like come up short. But once I step into that, God will provide. There will be more. I'm going to spend this. I'm going to give it, whatever the situation. Somehow there's more, whether I know where it came from or not. Like, I will go into my account and I expect a certain amount. I'm like, okay, surely it's gone down to here now. And it went up. And I'm like, no, that's not what I was expecting. But yeah, he's reminding me of that again. That, no, do I believe? Like, what are my actions saying? Do I believe there will be more?
So good. So we're called to walk in wisdom. We're called to walk following the Holy Spirit. So it's, you know, we can hear a testimony of, you know, I gave all my finances away because God was asking me to do that, and God needed me to do that, so I would put all my trust in him. So we hear that, and then everybody else can think they've got to do the same thing, right? And it's not that way. God leads each of us individually into what he wants for us, and we have to listen. But again, it's that letting go and letting God, fully trusting him to provide all we need. So let go and let God. Some of the things I had were similar to yours. The past, worldliness, offense, bitterness, anxiousness, ungodly anger. I think Linda might have touched on that. And unworthiness. And the list goes on. That was not meant to be an exhaustive list at all. So I like this phrase, and I'm almost finished. Don't give up, give in, or give out. Instead, give it over. If you think something's wrong with you or with someone else, pray and walk through it. Give it over to God. I was going to read to you 2 Corinthians 5, and I think I will read it to you, but I won't expound on it a whole lot. At least that's my plan in the moment. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 11. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No, we are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we're crazy, it's to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it is to your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. That's one of the phrases I want you to take. Christ's love controls us. And sometimes we have to let go of stuff so that Christ's love can control us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others by a human point of view, right, Joe? That was his testimony. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. Just think of that. He brought us back to God through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That should be what we are saying to people. Come back to God. Come to God. Know him. He loves you. In him, you have eternal life. There's no other way but through Christ. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I want you to see yourselves as made right through Christ, to be able to let go of things that really don't benefit you, and let God. Let God have all of you. Surrender everything to him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you that you took my sins and the sins of the world, that you removed them far from us. And I pray, Father, that we will walk as people whose sin is not only forgiven, but removed. That we will walk as children of the light and not of the darkness. That we will walk in freedom and not in bondage or condemnation. That we will walk in praise to you. That we will walk in joy. And I pray, Father, wherever we are weak, your strength will show forth. Reveal to us as we go through the week things that we need to let go of and let you into or let you have. Show us where we're truly not trusting you, and bring us deeper and deeper and higher in our ability to trust you, because you are trustworthy in all things. And we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast here at Life in Christ Fellowship in Newport, Vermont. We hope that you have enjoyed this message, and we encourage you to hit that subscribe button to continue updates on future messages each week. And feel free to share these messages of encouragement and edification to others. Thank you.